Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
And you know what turns people off to churches? Hypocrisy.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Herron returns to the book of 1 Peter today as we look at the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2 in a message called Portraits of Pooling Together.
The whole study of 1 Peter, and we started with that, and we went to 1 Peter 1, 3 to 12 on how can we smile in suffering. And then we move to the next section, verse 13 to 21, on staying clean in a corrupt society. And this is Peter's progression of an ultimate overview that the suffering that you go through is God using that. And you are connecting with what Paul said, the fellowship of his suffering. Even today's message, which is the portraits of pulling together. And that's verse 22 through chapter 2, verse 10. Let's read that together. And I think what I'll do is let me just read up to verse 22 together, 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25. And then we'll be preaching all the way to chapter 2, 1 through 10 today. I think we can do it on the whole area of portraits of pulling together. 1 Peter 1, let's read verse 22 through 25 together. Ready? Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fades away. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And Peter here is moving to, again, the theme of suffering, and knowing that when suffering comes, pressure comes, the tendency is in a family, even as a family of God, is to begin pulling apart, pressure, and people start pulling apart and looking at more what they don't have as differences than what they do have as likes. And this is where I think Peter is so wise in dealing with this area of portraits, of pulling together. This is what Peter's burden was for churches in his day when he was penning this letter, knowing they had all this suffering going and all of the privileges that he was trying to say to them, you're privileged that God is giving you this treasure of suffering out of his goodness, out of his mercy, out of the Christian privileges that you have, that suffering can have a tendency to rip apart your church, your family, the very foundations of who and what you are. And he was trying to encourage them, don't let that happen. And that's why in the very first chapter, he got talking about walking in harmony. And this particular passage, if you have your Bibles, turn there to 1 Peter. I want you to understand very simply today that in the midst of the suffering, and the gospel and the cross is what pulls together all those differences. The Jews and the Greeks, the barbarians and the free, the Scythians, and those that were in rural areas and urban areas, and all becoming one. And this is why Peter takes this passage and he gives portraits, because he knew for those people he was going to explain things to them. But he said, let me give you some portraits of examples of things that are going to be pulled together and should be tight. And there were four of them that he put in this passage of Scripture we're going to look at. The first portrait he uses is the idea that we are children of the same family. We're children of the same family. This is what he says from 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. And notice, these are the two common factors. One of those is that we've experienced the same birth. Notice verse 23, being born again, and there's the term born again that Peter used from Jesus' own words. When Nicodemus said, you've got to be born again, Nicodemus. You've been born once of water out of your mother's birth canal, and you're going to be born of the Spirit, spiritual birth. And this is why he says we've experienced the same birth. And look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You have the same spiritual food. To whom coming, he says, let's start in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And he says, verse 3, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And he's very simply saying an understandable concept that we have appetites for the word just like hungry newborn babies. And it's such a simple, natural, obvious illustration that Peter says, listen, if you're alive, you're going to crave. See the word? He says, you're going to desire the word crave. You're going to cry out after milk. I got to get this. And Peter's just saying, listen, if you're born again, you're going to get hungry for the word of God. There's something inside of you. Man, I just need that. And you do need that. You need it like every day. And it's interesting to note, even to believers, notice what he says in verse 1. He's simply saying, listen, sometimes children have no appetites because they've been eating the wrong things. So Peter warns them. In verse 1, he says, lay aside certain wrong attitudes. You know why you're not hungry, he's saying, and you're not desiring the sincere milk of the word? Because some of you, you have things in your heart that's killing the appetite for yourself, just like physically. If there's things going on, you're sick, you don't want to eat. This is exactly what Peter's saying. So you know what he says, lay aside? And it's interesting, notice progression. He says, you better lay aside malice, which very simply means a general wickedness. And then he says, the guile, which is craftiness. You're using devious words and actions, and you're kind of manipulating things. And when you take malice and guile, and you try and hide stuff, then you know what produces? It produces hypocrisies. And you know what turns people off to churches? Hypocrisy. Man, didn't I see you down at the club Friday night? Didn't I see you down there dancing? Didn't I see you having a good couple beers there and you kind of got lost a little bit? Oh, and then you're here on Sunday morning. Nice. Yeah, go get them, hypocrite. You think that's going to make people really want God's word? Of course not. So he says, all right, the hypocrisies that cause ill will, which is envy. Then it leads, ultimately, he says, the result of that is slander. And that's where people start cutting and dividing. And all of this is related to the portrait of a child in a family. And you know what tears apart families? Those kind of things. All of our families feel pressure today as much than ever. I was referring to my little childhood when I was a kid. One of 76 million baby boomers in the God bless United States. I'm going to tell you something. Move down the line now, 30, 40 years, here we are. Not the same world we live in. Not the same world. The day in which I grew up, if I wanted to go into something immoral, it would be like the proverbial hallway that I'd be walking down and it's boarded up and doors were there of immorality and I could knock on them and they'd open up and I could go into immorality. Well, today, man, oh man, you've got kids walking down glass corridors, and it's not the doors are even blocked. They're wide open. It's all glass, and you can see anything and everything. That's a problem. The world's not getting any brighter. It's getting only darker morally and spiritually. And this is why, even as families, Peter's saying, listen, this is a portrait. Pull this thing together, and you're just like a family. You got to stay together. Number two portrait. He moves to the idea from a family to the idea of living stones in the same building. Notice verse 4. these living stones in the same building, verse 4, notice your Bible says, you also as living stones or lively stones are built up a spiritual house. And he's using the analogy as a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then notice he takes this idea of a building and he says that Christ is the chief cornerstone of that building. He says it in Ephesians 2:20 as well, unto you, or verse 6. Wherefore also it contained in the scriptures, behold, he says, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. He's the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. What is he saying? He's saying that Christ, the metaphor is very powerful. He's saying he's the living stone. He was raised from the dead. He says he's the chosen stone of the Father. He says he's, notice the word, precious stone. It's the idea of chosen and lovely. And then he says, he quotes Isaiah 28, and then he says he's the kind of Messiah that they were expecting, so they stumbled over him. He was a stumbling stone. And the cause for it was because they didn't want to believe that Jesus was that Messiah. Here he was in Matthew 21. He's here. Man, people are crying out. But they didn't realize that only Christ realized. And he tried to even tell his own disciples, listen, I'm coming to give my life a ransom for many. And so when he now, a few days later, finds himself in great conflict with those Pharisees, and they decide we're getting rid of him. It's the Passover, the perfect time. And they get one of their disciples to turn on his master, who is Judas, and turned him in. And now he's arrested. Now he finds himself put into that pit at Caiaphas' house. And eventually now he's nailed publicly on this cross. That was a huge stumbling stone to the Jews. Because if he was the Messiah, he wouldn't have gone through any of this. There's just no way. Oh, well, okay, he resurrected from the grave 3 days later. For us as Christians, we know this to be true. But there are Jews today that still, and I've talked to them in Israel, they don't believe any of this. There's no way he could end up being the Messiah because he would have never gone to the cross. So it never happened. So he's certainly not alive. He's dead. They're looking for another Messiah. This is why Peter says right from the get-go, listen, we are just, as a family, is so tight as the lively stones. This same building, as one author said, listen, each time someone trusts Christ as Savior, another stone is quarried out of the pit of sin and cemented into place through the work of the Holy Spirit. And carefully overseeing this construction is Christ, who's the hands-on contractor of this eternal edifice. He's putting this all together. It's such a powerful, powerful portrait.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.